For four decades after World War II, the intelligence agencies of the U.S. and Western Europe were preoccupied with a military colossus, the Soviet Army. Now, the beleaguered successor to that force, the Russian Army, is in a state of crisis and hardly a threat to any foreign power. A recent military journal article says the Russian Army cannot repair its equipment, maintain necessary manpower, or pay its troops. Conscripts are commonly brutalized by their own superiors and comrades, generals dabble in black markets, and no one seems to know exactly what its mission is, to defend present-day Russia or the borders of the former Soviet Union. Charles Dick, a researcher at Sandhurst, Britain's National Military Academy, writes that the Russian army, having lost many of its material assets to other newly independent republics and much of its sense of mission in Afghanistan, is an institution that is seriously flawed.
The Russian army has ceased long since to be a war-fighting organization. Its morale, its state of training, the state of its equipment do not allow it to fight even the sort of very, very limited war that they've been going through in Chechnya. It's basically a failed organization.
You write about problems of equipment in the Russian army, equipment that should come with a certain supply of spare parts and a very heavy maintenance schedule. They don't have that. They don't have the parts, Andy, I gather.
Yes, the flow of spare parts and indeed of new equipments has virtually dried up. Basically, the funding simply isn't there. And because of the way in which Soviet equipment was designed, they need call on spare parts rather more frequently than do Western equipments.
You mean so that a Russian tank or whatever is a piece of equipment that one assumes should be sent back for overhaul and frequent maintenance and replacement of parts, but nowadays the army doesn't have those parts?
In essence, that's right. A tank, just to take that example, was designed to motor for 5,000 kilometres and then fight for another 1,000 kilometres. And the idea was basically that very few tanks will actually survive that process. Therefore, there's not much point in designing tanks for longer service life the way we do in the West. And that, of course, was fine for the Soviet Army's idea of fighting the major war.
Now, if the equipment and spare parts picture is bleak, the manpower picture isn't much brighter, as you describe it. For one thing, conscription seems to fail miserably to bring in the number of men they need.
Yeah, the conscription system is only pulling in about 21% of the available pool. Of that, at least a third go to non-Ministry of Defence armed forces.
There are also problems with the quality of the conscripts in Russia. And you write that since anybody engaged in any kind of education is deferred from service, the pool that's actually going into the army is the least educated group in Russian life.
Colonel General Semyonov, the head of the ground forces, has described the army as being genuinely an army of peasants and workers. The sort of educated people they need to be non-commissioned officers are no longer brought in. Basically, they're left with those who've often not completed secondary education and who, let's face it, wouldn't be in the army if they were smart enough to dodge it.
Some of the reasons that you cite for general reluctance on the part of young men to serve in the Russian army, some of them are quite understandable. They don't want to serve in Chechnya, for example, or one can be impoverished. But there's also an aversion to the hazing that people associate with life in the army, and the statistics on that are quite remarkable.
Yes, hazing, or dedovshchina, as it's called in Russian, is altogether of an order of magnitude worse than anything experienced in Western armies. On average, 5 or 6 Russian servicemen die every day, and of that number, about 3 are the victims of premeditated murder by their own colleagues, and 1 is a suicide, somebody who simply can't stand the pressures anymore. The barrack blocks are run by criminal gangs who live by their own rules and who subvert the moral and ethical values of society as a whole, and the army in particular.
Sometimes when we hear Russians decrying the degree of corruption and organized crime today in that country, people wonder if if the state would appeal to the military to crack down, but actually the military, it seems, is in it up to its elbows.
The army was probably the last bastion of the relatively clean former Soviet apparatus. Certainly the opportunities for corruption and the loss of morale, the lack of mission, have led many senior officers astray. They are stealing from the state, sometimes in quite spectacular forms. To be honest with you, many officers, if they do not take second jobs, if they do not involve themselves in corrupt practices, they simply wouldn't survive, given that they're not being paid for up to 6 months at a time.
How spectacular does it get?
The Northwestern Group of Forces chief of staff was sacked for selling a submarine to Spain and a frigate to Italy, giving you just a fairly spectacular example. And, of course, right down at troop level, soldiers will sell their rifles and ammunition for a bottle of vodka or two.
Now, you know, there is there was throughout much of the Cold War, a revisionist school of thought which said that the Soviet army, as it was, never was that good an outfit anyway, and that they were plagued with lots of these problems at a time when we in the West were overestimating their strength for political reasons. Is there anything to that? I mean, are you describing a force that was once a world-class military force?
The armed forces of the Soviet era certainly had their problems. They had very, very considerable problems in terms of lack of realistic training, possibly in terms of unit cohesion because of the poor quality of leadership, very much evidenced, of course, in Afghanistan. I personally feel that the Soviet army was a very, very serious threat until the mid-80s.
Well, Charles Dick, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Charles Dick of Britain's Conflict Studies Research Center wrote about the Russian army in a paper called A Bear Without Claws. It appeared in the journal Geopolitique.